Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. At the O'Fallon Rec Center in North St. Louis this week, thousands of people have converged to distribute water and food, flashlights, and cleaning supplies to those impacted by the devastating tornado that struck on Friday. There's no government involved, no official task force. This massive effort, now almost a week old, captures the best and worst about this moment. It's neighbors and strangers coming together in enormous numbers, doing their best to help with the tools and resources they have. But the scene, as inspiring as it is, also demonstrates that even with all of that effort, it's not enough. The damage to more than 4,000 buildings, the deaths of 5 people, the sheer amount of wreckage, with entire blocks devastated and barricaded by trees. It's becoming clear day by day that there's still so much to do, and so many people now wondering where and how they're going to live in the next weeks and months. But when you look at what is happening now, not just in places like the O'Fallon Rec Center, you can't help but see something special and making a difference in thousands of lives. Here to talk about those efforts, I'm joined by 3 organizers who are on the front lines of aid efforts. Kayla Reed, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Action St. Louis. Ohan Ashe, Founder of For the Culture, an online directory of Black-owned businesses in the region. And Aaron Williams, President of For the Ville, a cultural heritage development organization that champions the legacy of the Ville neighborhood. Welcome to the show, all of you, and thank you so much for making time to be here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
We'd like to invite you to the conversation as well. How are you helping or being helped? What resources are you waiting for? And what assistance do you expect from our local, state, and federal government? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at STL on air or email us at talk@stlpr.org. I'd like to start with where each of you were on Friday when the tornado, even before it hit, what was happening and where you found yourself on?
Yeah, I was actually at home getting ready to leave. I was supposed to be going to Chicago to go see the Beyonce concert. So my best friend had literally just texted me that she was on her way when I got the alert on my phone. I said, girl, it's a tornado outside. But in St. Louis, that doesn't really mean much at first, until I got on social media and started to see the damage and the destruction. And I decided right then and there that, well, I'm not going to Chicago tonight. And by the time we got out there, I decided I was not going to Chicago at all.
Mm-hmm. How much of what Ohan is sharing reflects where you were, what you were thinking, Aaron?
Well, I was actually in the neighborhood. I had just pulled away from Harlem Tap Room, and I was driving down Vanaventer. Maybe 7 minutes later, somebody called me because I had to be to Sumner's graduation to speak. And they was like, hey, can you come pick up these awards that we're giving to the students? And I was like, if I make it, because I just saw a log roll down the street. And right after I got off of that phone call, one of the residents called me who lives next to Harlem Tap Room. He was like, dude, Harlem Tap Room is gone. And I was like, you're playing. He was like, no, I think it was a tornado. I was like, well, anything happened in your building? He was like, no. I was like, well, there's no way that a tornado just came through this area and it hit Harlem Tap Room and not your house.
Yeah.
To my surprise, though, after I wrapped up Sumner's graduation and went back over there, there was actually a tornado and everything was on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
That's breathtaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kayla, how about you?
I was an hour outside of St. Louis in DeSoto, Missouri for an organization I'm on the board for that was here yesterday, Our City Defenders, their annual staff and board retreat. And so we were in DeSoto, Missouri, in a conference room, and it got really dark. And we were concerned about whether, because I grew up never experiencing a tornado in St. Louis, but felt like where we were was prime places where things like that could happen.
Okay.
The storm passed over us, and we started, you know, back inside that meeting. And then folks who lived, who were on the staff in the room, started getting text messages from and other board members from their spouses and loved ones, folks who lived in UCity. And then we started to sort of just hear text messages that sort of paved the pathway of the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
So folks who lived on the west side and the north side were also starting to, like, communicate to folks that this had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I drove home. And before I even got in my house, I called Ohun to say, like, I think we need to drive around and figure out what we can do.
Mm-hmm. So if we go back to Saturday, and that is not that long ago, each of you began organizing what has become, as of today, you know, operations with hundreds of volunteers and just helping people with all kinds of needs. How did those efforts begin? And on that first day, Ohun?
Yeah, so like Kayla mentioned, she called me and we made the decision right there that we were going to do something. She was still getting home. So as I was like waiting around making a decision about not going to Chicago, I was like, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to just go to Snooks, grab some supplies, some waters and things like that, and just go out into the community as we're looking at what's going on. And I think Marty, the state rep, was putting a call out for people to go to the O'Fallon Park YMCA. So after we rode around for a little bit and we gave what we had in my car away, we met up at the rec center and some more people were coming with donations. So we went right back out into the neighborhood until it got dark, and we came back to the rec center later on. We set up a barbecue pit. We were feeding community that night, getting resources, collecting things, but being out there showed us that this was going to be an effort that was going to take a lot and it was going to be long term. So we decided Saturday to go full out, asking for donations, getting volunteers, going into the community, and it has just grown into this people power operation.
Mm-hmm. What was going on the west side, Aaron?
So we host a trap run every year, and we built up a little bank account to support people in the community for home rebuild. So we immediately pulled out that card and was like, let's start doing stuff. So we bought 3 chainsaws and we hit the street. Me, State Rep Kimberly Ann Collins, Dallas Adams Dream Builders. And we were just walking through the neighborhood around Newstead, just cutting trees and power lines and light poles for people just so they can get off their block to get whatever they need. While we were doing all of that, more people started calling us saying, how can we help? Where can we meet you in the morning to get started? We were like, fine, we got a storefront on MLK, so just meet us there. And somehow news traveled, and it just became a meetup point.
Yeah.
And that, over time, just evolved into what it is today.
How much of a surprise was that response, Kayla? Or was it really not a surprise at all?
It was huge because we didn't know the first couple of days that the other side fully existed. And so we were at the Y, and the Y has been gracious enough to let us set what we're calling the People's Response up and supporting us in that. But that night when we drove through the neighborhood, that night I went down Pope. Today I went down Newstead, and we couldn't cross Natural Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know what was happening in the Ville yet. So it was sort of like Aaron was on MLK and we were on West Florissant trying to figure out, you know, how the operations eventually would sync up. And that night we put up a Google form requesting volunteers. And then, you know, we came up there the next day at 9 a.m. And at first we were in the back of the parking lot, really just letting folks come pick up what they needed. And volunteers were starting to mobilize to go out to do cleanups. And I think that first day we had about a couple hundred volunteers. But the sign up form the first night had gave us 500 volunteers before I went to sleep the night of the tornado.
Wow. Yeah.
And then when I came home after Saturday night of working and sort of amplifying what happened, we had 3,000 volunteers. And by Sunday, over 5,000 people filled out a Google form just to come to help out. And so we've had a consistent flow. I mean, we've completely run out of water, and by the end of the day, been restocked for water.
Mm-hmm.
So people are right now we're servicing about 500 people through the line, residents who are coming to pick things up. We're getting double the number of cars to drop things off. We're feeding people lunch and dinner. And so it's really turned, it's morphed into a really huge apparatus, but it started as a Google form and some text messages and just people who are adjacent to these communities and serve these communities and love these communities. What I tell folks is like, that's the neighborhood I grew up in. I went to Lowell Elementary. Both sides of my family have been impacted by this, and they live in that footprint between Fairground and O'Fallon Park.
Yeah. And when we started too, when people were asking us about volunteering, we were also pushing people to action because they were able to mobilize quicker than us. And we knew how to do what we were doing, but we didn't have the capacity to handle people asking us how can they help. So it was good that they were able to mobilize as fast as they were.
Now, one of the volunteers who was coming to the O'Fallon Rec Center was Aisha James Caldwell, she's the founder of Taste of Black St. Louis. And she spoke on Monday while volunteering at the People's Response Hub at the O'Fallon Rec Center in North St. Louis. And Aisha said that she had come out just hoping to help her community. She ended up serving lunch and dinner to over 450 people, trying to give them a taste of a home-cooked meal. And on Monday, producer Danny Wissentowski asked her to describe the scene around her.
I see change. I see love. I see community. And I see action. People out here are not just talking about it. They're not talking the talk. They're walking it. They're picking up. They're giving their community effortlessly, selflessly. They are just providing what they can. And to some, it may look like a little, but when we all engage together, it's a whole lot. And we're doing our best.
So hearing that, what do you think, what is it bringing to mind for you, Ohan?
I mean, we've been in activism work for a decade, over a decade now. So we've seen people come together, but I have never seen it in this magnitude. People instantly got involved and they instantly started sharing what they are good at. And I think that's the part that is making everything so successful is that people are empowered to do the things that they already do. So people that are already feeding people are just showing up with food. People who can donate are just showing up with donations. That people that are good at organizing and sorting are coming in to organize and sort things that make our processes easier to streamline for setup and breakdown. And to see people empowered to do the things that they love to do in this capacity and coming together and what we are able to do has been just so inspiring.
Yeah, I want to, talking about people just taking care of each other, I always felt like that was one of the superpowers of Black people. But
yeah,
I'm thinking back to Saturday when we was out cutting trees and it was an elder family sitting on their porch with a whole spread of food. And it was like, our power out, but we just been cooking for people all day because that's what people need.
Yeah.
It was like, a meal is love.
Yeah.
These are people that have just lost everything, but they still figure out a way to cook for everybody on the block.
Yeah. And just want to say, like, that is a swath of the volunteers at the People's Response are people like Mr. Hines, who lives in the neighborhood and is like, Mines is gone, and while all the aid comes online, I just want to be here and be helpful to my neighbors, and this is the best way I can do it. And Miss Mary, who is like a mom and has to pick our kids up, is like organizing this room into stations that allow us to make these care packages. And so we're talking about folks from West County and North City and every place in between really showing up to support.
In Fountain Park Lewis Place, they literally organize everybody emptied out their refrigerator. They had me bring over some bags of coal, Dr. Pam Talley, and she said, we cooking everything. So if you're hungry, just come over.
Amazing.
Like all we're doing is supporting what's already happening in the neighborhood.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation with community organizers who've been leading efforts to provide for the immediate needs of people hit by last week's tornado on St. Louis's north and west sides.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Let's continue our conversation about community-led, community-driven efforts to provide for the immediate needs of people on St. Louis's north and west sides who were impacted by last Friday's tornado. We're talking today with three organizers who are in the front lines of aid efforts. Kayla Reed, Executive Director and co-founder of Action St. Louis. Ohan Ashe, founder of For the Culture, an online directory of Black-owned businesses in the region. And Aaron Williams, president of For the Ville. Now, before the break, we were talking about people contributing what they're good at. And Aaron, you talked about the chainsaws. That obviously something it takes some skill to know how mm-hmm. to use. What other kinds of things people are good at have you all seen at the O'Fallon Park Rec Center? I mean, Kayla, you did mention organizing. Yeah. That is a very particular kind of skill.
It's a skill set. Yeah. It's not my skill set, for sure. But people, yeah, so we sort of have what we call like the team of moms who mm-hmm. decided the storage room was the room that they were going to own. Mm-hmm. And so one day there's a video of us trying to get them out to go home for the day because it's 5 o'clock. Operation shut down at 3 and they're still working to set themselves up well for the next day. And what I think is even different than that are these like soft skills that folks have. There's an abundance of hard skills. So we were getting all these folks who were like, we actually are electricians and contractors, and mm-hmm. they were just showing up.
Yeah.
And that was before we really connected to the West Side Hub. And now we're sending the sort of, we keep the soft skills and right. we send the hard skills to Aaron because he's mm-hmm. a project manager and works in construction. And it's like that team is mobilizing actual folks to go into the community and do some of the immediate work folks need in their homes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's incredible. So we're different and also complementary and figuring out how to work together. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to, I think, just like the strength of community organizations and just like everyday people.
Right. Ohan, I've seen that you have been posting about daily needs. Mm-hmm. What have those daily needs been sort of generally, and how is that changing?
Yeah. So there are just supplies that people need all the time in a situation like this. Without having power, people need some sort of light source. So running out of flashlights or the lanterns was something that was reoccurring. People need to clean right now. So running out of cleaning supplies. We are sending out food kits all the time. So having food restocked, non-perishable food, canned goods with the pop tops, they're like really specific things that people need because they don't have can openers right now. It could have got lost, all of those things. But those are just some of those recurring, because what we have is almost like three different systems of care packages. We have our hygiene kits that help like men and women with soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, menstrual items, all of those things. We have our food kits that are filled with snacks, canned goods, and then we have like our essentials that have the cleaning supplies, the flashlights, trash bags, toilet paper mm-hmm. towels. So at any moment, we can get really stocked up as we've been putting out what we need. But while that is happening, we are still giving out care packages, so we might run low on other things. So it's constantly happening, and all we have to do is put something out, and people will start showing up with those exact items.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think what is powerful about the people's response at the Y is we've gotten so large because people continue to follow folks like Ohan and Action St. Louis mm-hmm. and For the Culture STL, that we are now a hub to what we're calling like the satellite spot. So the folks mm-hmm. on church parking lots or grocery store parking lots are setting up in another park. They come load up what they need. They call us in advance, and we have a team that's just taking stuff out of our storage room and filling them up to make sure that people don't have to come up to the Y to get what they need, that we're also dispensing through our partners mm-hmm. And just residents who are just trying to take care of their blocks. Mm-hmm. They're coming up to get enough resources to take care of everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you anticipate you all will need based on the last 5 days? And let me ask this question of you, Aaron. The emergency hub location for the Ville is at 4144 Dr. Martin Luther King Drive.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. What do you anticipate you all will need there?
So at our site, we have really prioritized building stabilization material. So mm-hmm. plywood, lumber, nails, screws. Sometimes we get tools in. Tarps, lots of tarps.
Like what size? all sizes?
As big as possible, yeah. Okay. And at this point, people have just begun bringing us vinyls, like old billboards and stuff like that.
Oh,
it all
I
works,
see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just we, as a placekeeping organization, the most important thing for us here is to keep people in their home, protect their home and their property and them. So when this happened, the thing I immediately started saying to the city is we need to close these houses up. It might still look bad, but mm-hmm. they're still living in it. We need to close it up because the storm is coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, I think, thrust us into this. Like, I keep calling us the Home Depot of the relief yeah. activity.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly
because that's
sounds
what we've
like
turned
it.
Into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kayla, how about from your perspective?
Yeah. So just sheer volume. So today, you know, we came off site today, both of our teams here. And by the time we left, we had already dispatched 200 volunteers into the community. So we need the traffic jacket vest mm-hmm. to, like, help our folks. We need...
Oh, the orange?
Yeah.
Yep.
We
okay.
need the rakes, shovels...
Push brooms.
And then we are constantly in the flow of the non-perishable household mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. So toilet paper, paper towels, Pampers for the little ones. We constantly are always zero, like the infant size up to the 6 month. Mm-hmm. We're constantly giving those out. Baby food and things like that. And so, you know, what I'll say is people should follow For the Ville. They should follow For the Culture. They should follow Action St. Louis, because every day we both report out what we've been able to do for the day mm-hmm. and what we need for the next day. Mm-hmm. And so, and if you sign up to volunteer, you get pushed into our newsletter format, and we're sending that out as well. And so we thought we were going to actually sort of face a volunteer decline during the weekdays because we have such a big day, and that has not been the case. We're crossing 500 volunteers during the weekdays. Mm-hmm. So we're like, we're really building out an apparatus to get folks in and out very quickly. And we just ask for folks to be patient with us because that line gets long. And those volunteers are staying well past 3 o'clock to service anyone who's in the line by three. And we're doing our best to support just the larger grassroots effort mm-hmm. that's really standing in the gap while we wait for long-term aid to come.
Mm-hmm. Something I do want to note is that, Kayla, you and Ohan, there's no uniform for people who are out there, but you're both wearing the same shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about what this shirt is and why you are wearing it?
Yeah, sure. So it is our staff's uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So on site is Action St. Louis For the Culture and many partners. I want to like give huge shouts out to like Arch City Defenders and Mo Political and the UMSO data team who've helped us build a robust survey that we're working alongside official and community partner organizations to service people. So if they go to actionstl.org/tornado and press get help, they can fill out that survey and we're responding to it in real time if they've been impacted. But the front of the shirt says the people's response with our organization's logos. On the back, it says self-determined, self-deployed. I think that stands in the legacy of, like, you know, these Black communities who have always figured out a way to be self-determined in what their vision is for themselves and self-deploying to support each other. And so we recognize that we're not the relief efforts that usually stand up in mm-hmm. moments like this, but we're standing in that gap and working together in a self-determined way to sort of let the movement that has existed in St. Louis be of service to the communities we love.
Mm-hmm.
Can I?
Yeah, sure.
I just want to add to that for anybody doing this work, especially for the Ville and Invest STL, because that's who's operating our site, dignity is very important here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is very important. So we need to stress that with any service we provide to anybody, like allow them to help themselves. We're just providing the resources.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Williams is president of For the Ville. Ohan Ashe is founder of For the Culture STL. And Kayla Reed is executive director and co-founder of Action St. Louis. Thank you all for all you're doing and for taking time to be with us today.
Of course.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.